Blog Talk Radio.
You don't make
Calling in from the 111 number. Listen, sorry, we're not going to take 111 callers, okay? You have to call in with a regular phone number, okay, for us to take them. So if you're calling in on 111, okay, we're not going to take them. I'm sorry, okay? Call in on a regular number, okay? We're going to play a song here called by Mac Brock called Greater Things. Here we go.
My life is built on your faithfulness.
man. What a beautiful song. We're going to play, let's play something a little different. Play a song by Toby Mac. It's called Everything. Here we go. Listen, guys. You call from the block number 111, okay? I'm not going to be taking your call. So if you want to be on, you want your call to be taken, you must call in with a regular number, okay? You know, like 409-309-209, okay, with a 647-7754, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking block calls. So, okay, you can push the one key to the cows come home, okay? If you don't call in with an unblocked number, we will not be taking your call. Okay, so here we go. Everything by Toby Mac.
Hallelujah.
another great song there. Hallelujah to the Lamb by China Corner. Well, let's play another great song here. He Lifts You Up by Red Letter Hymnal. Here we go.
Like a room without a door, but this is not forever. We know the saving Lord. Yeah, we know He lifts you up, up, up when you are down, down, down. He lifts you up, up, up high off the ground, ground, ground. He lifts you up, up, up when you are down. While the students take a test, He's working things together for you, 'cause He's gonna bless you. Yeah, you. He lifts you up, up, up when you are down. Many trials we face.
You know we're tested and tempted to give up this race. But then I hear Yahshua whisper, let me hold to your hand, for there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrendered at the Master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let Him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over. In Yahweh and let Him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over.
Got to include Isaiah. So I'm trying to figure out where to put Isaiah in. About that time, a woman jumped up and she said, "He can have my seat. I'm going home." Amen. That's a little funny one. Well, I hope that you won't be that way. I hope that you will enjoy and be blessed by this series of studies. We began a study last week here in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26, that I entitled, "Why Nobody is a Nobody." Look down there in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Let's read our passage again for tonight, and then we're going to review what we did last week. Pick back up, and then we should finish this up together tonight. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 26, "If you have your place there, say amen." All right. And God said, "Let us," if you have not underlined that little phrase there, "let us," that is a very important little phrase. Some people will say, well, it's plural majesty. I do not believe that there is something to that. Again, I do believe that there is something to that. But I also believe that it lets us know that we are dealing with the Trinity. Here you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're in creation of Genesis. They're creating everything that's out of nothing that was. So the Bible says, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." And there you have it again. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Do I need to stop right there and preach my sermon on Bruce Jenner from this morning again? Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fields yield seed. To you it shall be for food, and also to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, which gives life. I have given everything green and herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Again, there is this distinction there. On all the other days, God would get to the end of the creation date and say it was good. It was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Yet, when he gets here to the end of the sixth day, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Here's what I want you to remember tonight. Nobody is a nobody, but because some pop psychologist says it, not because some fortune cookie told you it, not because you won a lottery or something like that. Nobody is a nobody because we are created in the image of God. We have God's fingerprints all over us. If you remember, I began by sharing with you last week, number one, that the Bible says that you were created with a unique design. Again, you were created in the image of God. You say, what does that mean? It means that you're not like anything else that God made. Physically, man is the only creature that walks uprightly. Mentally, he's the only creature in the entire world that can communicate in a sophisticated manner. Spiritually, he alone has the capacity to know the mind and the will of God. Here's the thing. Only man can have a relationship with God because only man was created in his image. Again, we talked about last week the fact that we were trichotomous beings. We are made up of three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. Okay, by the way, this is not in my notes, but it's a little addition. The thing about, like I shared this morning, the thing about Bruce Jenner and the thing that we are facing increasingly in society is that there is a rise, there is a resurrection, there is a revival, if you will, of a New Testament and an Old Testament cult. If you will, called Gnosticism. Okay, Gnosticism, simply put, believes that there is a separation between your body, the material self, and the real you. The real you is deep down inside and has nothing to do with how you were made. Look right here. God made you in three parts. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. Again, he created male and female. If God created you as a male, it doesn't matter that you think that you're a female, you're a male. If God created you a female, it doesn't matter that you think you are a female. You cannot separate these things like some Gnostic would. That gets into so many more things. I will recommend for your reading, he said, and he and I have differed and disagreed on so many things over the year, but when somebody does write, you ought to recognize them. Amen? Amen. Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention, ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and I differ, and I disagree with Russell on so many, many things. But he's always been very kind to me. Whenever we've had children, he's always sends me a little Twitter congratulations. That's very nice of him. He wrote an article towards the end of the week. Basically, the title of it was How Christians Should Respond to Bruce Jenner. I want to kind of recommend that you, for your reading, it will give you a little bit more background, if you will, and insight into what I shared with you about Gnosticism. So here, you have the fact that we are created as a trichotomous being. We are body, soul, and spirit. What that means is we saw last week that through the body, through the senses, it gives us world consciousness. Without your body, you would not even know that you were here. If you couldn't hear, see, and touch, and feel those sorts of things, you would not even know you were here. Number two, the soul gives us self-consciousness. We talked last week about britches and lipstick and dogs and all those sort of things. We don't need to rehash all that tonight. Amen? Hello, number C. The spirit is what gives you God consciousness. You have the capacity for God. It means that you have a personality. Some people have more personality than others. Amen? It means you have, again, the capacity for God. It means that you're a sociable being. It means that we are creative. And again, look at this building. Matter of fact, can you do me a favor? Can you very quickly and easily, can you put our logo back up? The logo for the series. Can you get that? No, not that one. The other one for Genesis. Yeah, there we go. So here you can be creative. Look at that. Number one reason, do a great job working through all these. Amen? You see all these sorts of things. By the way, I was thinking this afternoon, more of you all need to sign up and volunteer to work for Brother Ryan and to help in that ministry, because we're growing ministry, and through technology and communications and TV and all those sorts of things, we can even touch more people. If you notice here, you have somebody who has the ability to take pictures, somebody who has the ability to put them together, somebody who has the ability to understand how light and how shadow and shade and all sorts of little things work together. We would not be able to do that if we were not created in God's image. We have the ability to be creative. Number five, it means that mankind is immortal. Once you were created, once you were conceived, if you will, you will never, ever, ever cease to be. There was a day when you were not. There will never be a day when you will cease to be. You will be forever somewhere, either in place called heaven as a result of receiving Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, or in a place called hell separated from God as a result of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You're going to be somewhere forever. Hey, by the way, in spite of what those very nice people who come to your house and they knock on your door on a Saturday morning and they want to hand out to you the Watchtower magazines, in spite of what they believe, in spite of what they say, if somebody goes to hell, they're not just burned up and annihilated. Nope, they're going to be there forever and forever and forever and forever. You are immortal. That's where we picked up. That's where we left off right there last week. So tonight we're going to pick up with the main point, number two. That is, that you were given to an unusual dominion. Look back at verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The Bible says that God created man and God created animals at basically the same time, in spite of what Peter says. In spite of what ASPCA, or maybe even some of you here tonight may believe, I want you to know that you can find out exactly what kind of a relationship we have with animals by studying the Word of God. Somebody says, well, the Bible doesn't address these sort of things. It absolutely does. The Bible says three main things about our relationship with the animal world. Number one, you are similar to the animals. If you ever worked with in the children's ministry back in preschool, you understand that. Amen. A bunch of little wild animals. Amen. You say, you shouldn't say those sort of things. I have four children. I can say what I want to. Amen. You are similar to the animals. There's no reason to deny it. There's no reason to try to debate it. The fact of the matter is that we do have a lot in common with animals. I mean, think about it. We have a similar form. We have eyes. We have ears. We have mouths. We have hands. We have feet. We have toes. We do a similar form. But there's one. But here's what amazes me. A lot of people look at those similarities and they'll say, see, anybody can see that man is just a higher form of an animal. Look right here. That is absolutely insane. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, that's like saying that just because a plane has an engine and wheels and carries people around from one place to another, it's just another higher form of an automobile. No, we are similar to the animals. But then, number two, we not only have a similar form, but we have a similar food. Verse 29, God says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Now, again, if you've ever been hunting, if you're a hunter and you've cleaned and you've dressed animals, you've been around animals at all, you know what we have a similar digestive tract. We have similar ways of eating and digesting food. A lot of times we even eat the same kind of food. We eat carrots, rabbits eat carrots. By the way, carrots are rabbit food. Do you understand that? Oh, my goodness. They want us to eat like rabbits. Amen. Lettuce and carrots and all those sort of things. Well, they are good for you. They don't taste that good, but they are good for you. They don't taste nearly as good as a Twinkie. Amen. Hello? By the way, have you ever noticed that carrots and Twinkies are similar in shape and similar in color? Does that mean that I can consider a Twinkie a vegetable? Hello? All right. We eat carrots. Rabbits eat carrots. We eat meat. Tigers eat meat. Somebody will look at all that and they'll say, see, man is just a higher form of animal because we both eat the same kind of things. Again, that is crazy. Just because men and animals eat the same kind of food doesn't mean that man is just a higher form of animal. That's like saying just because a car and an airplane use gas that a plane is just a higher form of an automobile. No, we have similar food, we have similar form, we also have similar fate. In other words, look here, we both die. Animals die, men die. If you will, jot down Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And listen to what it says. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them as one dies, so does the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, are from dust and return to the dust. What Solomon is saying to you, and then tonight, is this. What happens to animal also happens to men. Dogs die, men die, cats die 9 times. Men die, hello. I'll just leave it at that right there. I thought it was kind of funny. Brother Josh, a bunch of Baptists with no sense of humor, Mr. Mike up there, amen. Cats die 1 time. Men die. Horses die. Men die. We all die. Some will look at the end and they'll say, see, can't you realize that man is just a higher form of animal? Hey, folks, here, look here. Cars and airplanes both crash, but that doesn't mean an airplane is just a higher form of a car. You are similar to the animal, but then, number two, you are separate from the animals. Listen to Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul. I'll never forget as a young religion student in University of Jackson, Tennessee, going through in some of those classes, Dr. Kevin Moore's classes. Dr. Kevin Moore was a ranked liberal, but I took him for every class that he taught because I always made a good grade. I remember and they were listening to Dr. Kelvin Moore. He said later, as verified, he said that in Hebrew, that little phrase right there, a man became a living being in Hebrew. It is right here, man became a living liver. I always thought it was a kind of a humorous, but you all have no sense of humor tonight, so I won't even bother with it. Man became a living being. Now, that is God's way of telling us that man is distinct from and different from animals, because even the makeup of our flesh is totally different from the makeup of flesh of animals. We're going to see, let me show you this for a moment. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just hold your place here, and we're going to come back to it. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 39, you know, people will say sometimes, Pastor, you know that the Bible doesn't talk about science. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, Pastor, the Bible is not a science book. The Bible is not a book about science. Well, listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. Hey, by the way, did you all see that little snippet and a little portrait, if you will, on Fox News yesterday? And they interviewed her at the National Institute of Health, a doctor who was part of a human genome project who was a professing Christian. Amen. To know that there are scientists out there, that those who would say they believe in Christ, there are those people that the Bible is not a book of science. Well, this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. Can I ask you a question? Pray tell me how Paul knew that. Paul was not a scientist. Paul was not a zoologist. Paul was not anything like that. Yet he said here all flesh is different. Did you know that scientists now know that there are 600 octodecillion different combinations of amino acids? You say, what in the world is an octodecillion? An octodecillion is 10 to the 108th power. That is a 10 with 108 zeros behind it. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that there are no two things on the top side of God's earth that are exactly alike. No trees are exactly alike. No two plants are exactly alike. No blades of grass are exactly alike. Not even two identical twins are exactly alike. They are totally different. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living, giving spirit. That just proved what was talked about in every beginning part of the message. Adam was the first human being who was ever created. He was the first of his kind. He was special. He was unique. He was different. Nothing that God had ever created before Adam, you could even put on a category of a human being. He was the first of his kind. So you are similar. You are separate. Number three, you are superior to animals. I'm going to have a whole lot of fun right here. Buckle your pew belt, all right? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. I ask you to hold your place there. Let me show you something else. We got a lot of people running around here today, and they'll say it's blasphemy. It's crazy to try to say that we are somehow above the animals. I mean, the humanists and the evolutionists and all the crazy atheists, if you will, want you to believe that you are somehow on the same level as animals. I was driving into Diana, and I looked up Michael J. Fox to verify this quote. Listen to what Michael J. Fox, you know, by the way, for all of his charm and all sorts of things, he's a nut. I know some of you will say, you dare talk about Alex B. Keaton that way. Alex B. Keaton is a nut. Listen to what Michael J. Fox says. There is no clear distinction between us and animals. Animals can communicate. Animals have emotions. Animals can think. Some thinkers think that the human soul is different because we are immortal. That just becomes completely absurd. We're blasted and bombarded with kind of nonsense every single day through the media, through the newspapers, through the magazines, through the news on TV, and those sort of things. What they'll say in the classrooms, they'll tell your children, you're just a higher form of animal. Yet three times in verse 26 and 27, the Bible says that God created man. The Bible says that God has a special relationship with man. Man has a special relationship with God. Pay very close attention. Listen to this. God named man, but man named the animals. So man serves God, but animals serve man. So animals were never meant to eat man, but man was meant and intended to eat animals. Animals can learn tricks, but only men can learn truths. Animals can work, but only man can worship. There is no other creature on the top side of God's earth quite like man. See, God has put us here and God has placed us here, and he has given to us an unusual dominion. Just what does that mean? It is this right here. We are different because we are different. They serve us, we don't serve them. You say, no, no, preacher, you don't understand. I have this cat. Somebody asked me, said, what do you have against cats? I said, I don't like them. You say, you shouldn't say that. Why? I'm supposed to lie. Dogs are the same way. I watch some of you and I love you. I watch what you put on the Facebook and your dogs and all sorts of things. You know what? It looks like you're serving your dog. If you have a goldfish, you're probably serving them. They were meant to serve us. They were meant to be domesticated. They were meant to be food. Not cats, unless you like, I'm going to go back out of that one. Can I tell you this? No, in doubt, don't. But it's really funny. I had a former staff member who actually just got called to church. His name is Phil. Just got called in, exclusive pastor of a church up in, I think, Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina. He just called an executive pastor up there. He served with Kim and I and his wife, Pam, and his children. They're at a Temple Baptist Church. He just got called as an executive pastor. Before he got into the ministry, when he was going to Liberty University, he worked at a Chinese restaurant. I guess a Chinese restaurant, he shouldn't have done this. Whenever the owner would come through, and they were fixing the trays and that kind of stuff, when the owner would come through, the people, and Phil was one of them, when he was fixing the food, Phil would go, meow. The owner would go, who is that? Nobody would tell him, meow. I need to get back up out of that one. Just move on, Brad. Just move on. Okay? I mean, he was trying to say the Chinese people were cooking cats. Okay? If you're given to a unique and unusual dominion, lastly tonight, you're headed to an ultimate destiny. There is one thing that we know that plants and animals don't know. We know that we're going to die. Plants do not know that. If a plant knew that, they would run whenever they saw me coming. It doesn't matter what kind of plant it is. I can kill any plant. I have killed. I have to confess to you tonight, I have killed. I have murdered 3 bonsai trees. I didn't think you could kill those things. I have killed azaleas. I have heard that that's nearly impossible. I've done it. Plants don't know that they're going to die. Animals do not know that they're going to die. You dog, you say, yes, they do. No, they don't. Dogs don't know it. Cats don't know it. The gerbil doesn't know it. Growing up, we had guinea pigs in our house. My brother had a guinea pig. Those things are the devil. You say, why in the world would you say that? Because they come out at night. You're trying to sleep in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden this little squeaking little thing starts hitting the water bottle at 3 a.m. again in the morning. Anybody ever had a guinea pig? Can I see your hand? Is what I just said true? Absolutely. They don't know that they're going to die. You've even seen a dog plan. Have you ever seen a dog plan a funeral? Seriously, have you ever seen a dog plan a funeral? Have you ever seen a cat sit outside and scratch out at will? You don't see that. You know why? Because they don't have the foggiest idea they're going to die. But you and I both know, we all know that we're going to die. Let me ask you a question. How do we know that? Well, we know that from without, but we also knew it by instinct from within. There's something inside of it that tells us we're going to die. You say, where does that come from? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. We know we're going to die. We're going to die, the Bible says, as a result of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You say, but Pastor, wait a minute. Plants don't sin and animals don't sin. Why do they die? I tell you why. The Bible says that when man has sinned, it messed up everything. It messed up everything. So here's the difference. When a plant dies, it's dead. When a dog dies, it's dead. Here's what I want you to know. We're going to finish up your spirit. Like I said at the beginning of the message tonight, your spirit is going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So get this down and get it down really good. Don't ever forget this. The real you is never going to die. There may have been a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you cease to be. I mean, when the sun is cold, lump of coal floating in space, and the moon no longer glows, when the waves no longer beat upon the shore of the world, somewhere your spirit will be existing forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says your body has an appointment with death, but your spirit has an appointment with God. Would you like to know what happens to every single human being when they die? Let me give you this to you, and we're going to close. Look over at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 7. Here's what happens to every single human being when they die. I will let you get there because it's too important. Ecclesiastes, you say, where is that? That's why you have to have a Bible with tabs on it, amen? Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, right through there. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. I need to help you some more. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, that will help you enough. It's the middle of your Bible. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and then the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's right, yep. One of these days, the Bible says that the spirit that lives within your body is going to meet God. Joseph Cook put it this way, tender teens, teachable 20s, tireless 30s, fiery 40s, forceful 50s, serious 60s, sacred 70s, aching 80s, and shortening breath, death the sod. God, one of these days you're going to return to dust. There's going to be somebody fighting over your ashes in an urn. Somewhere, if you were here this morning, some just playing, you say, Pastor, I've always wanted to know, should we be cremated? I'll just say this right here. I'll leave you alone. The Bible method is burial. I'll just leave it to you like that. One of these days, you're going to return to dust. Your body, your spirit is going to meet God. Here's the thing. Deep down in our hearts, you know, well, we know this, don't we? Answer me. Don't we know that? We understand. We know that one of these days we're going to meet God. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. But even though we don't like to think about it or talk about it, here's the thing about it. We don't like to hear preachers preach about it. You let a preacher start preaching on death like I have tonight, and you act like you're acting. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to hear about it. One of these days, you're going to die. When you die, you're going to meet God. You say, well, good. Well, it is if you're saved. It's not if you're not saved. Okay, you know the old spiritual says, oh, Lord, one of these days I want to stand before your great white throne. If you end up and see a great white throne, you're in the wrong place. You want to see the beam of the judgment seat, not the great white throne. So when we die, we're going to go meet God. That's where Jesus comes in. You see, as we said before, your spirit has the fingerprints of God all over it. Your spirit is valuable. Let me tell you how valuable your spirit is, and I'm done. Your spirit is so valuable that God the Father sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that your spirit might be redeemed, so that it can be renewed, so that it can be regenerated, and so that one of these days it can live forever with him. One of these days you're going to die. You're going to face God. The question really is tonight, how far away is death? I looked it up and the way in tonight. Did you know that the average heart beats about 70 beats a minute? Did you know that? The only thing that separates you from eternity is a simple beating of your heart, gasping a breath. That's it. One of these days, when your heart stops beating, you're going to meet God. The question is, before that day comes, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for guiding us on all of our ways, on all of our ways with power from on high. Lord, we thank you that again and again you have led us through the darknesses on the path of light, Lord. Looking back, we cannot be thankful enough, Lord. May our hearts turn to you and be filled with the quiet certainty in all we are still awaiting, Lord. Remember us and remember that many who lie under heavy bondage, Lord. Let the time come when you will bring a great deliverance to those who are in darkness, Lord. Then we can find the meaning of our lives and all that happens, Lord. Knowing that you have been faithful in everything, you have done more than we've asked, more than we can understand. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get down to the great question. Okay, and that is, how many of you do not know Jesus tonight? Are you tired of walking aimlessly around, okay, like you're lost? You're scratching your head because you're confused and you don't know what's going on, what's up or down, or what's going on, or, okay, what's your life all about? Okay, maybe you have a problem with alcohol, drugs, overeating, gambling, sexual immorality. Whatever the issue may be, you see, God can fix that. God can take that away. But in order for that to happen, you've got to ask Jesus into your life. So I ask you, won't you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, tonight? If so, please say this little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long, I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you've said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. And we want to say may God bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Now, we are now taking calls, okay? And if you are, I'll take the longest caller first. We've got a caller from 858, okay? Caller 858, let's see who we have. Hello, 858, who do we have?
Hi, this is Tony again. I spoke to you a few days ago, actually a few weeks ago. I wanted to read a couple verses, if possible, from the Bible.
Oh, yeah, be my guest.
It's the Bible that I read from is from the Satanic Temple Library. And it's called The Revolt of the Angels. The Revolt of the Angels.
No, we can't go with that. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, 857. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Ken, what's up, man? It's Fal Quinn from Discord.
Hey, how you doing, Fal Quinn, my brother? How you been?
I'm all right, brother. I'm all right, man. I definitely dug the sermon about questioning mortality and eventually accepting the fact that, to accept the inevitable that one day we will meet our maker, whether we want to or not.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, whether we want to or not, we will meet him, and he will judge us accordingly. So, you know, what we do down here really matters before we go to him up there.
Amen. Amen, brother. Just a quick question for you. Not something I wanted to bring up. I figured I'd bring it up because, like, we know each other. I can bring it up and, you know, you're not gonna be weird about it. But
yeah.
A certain you-know-who I won't mention has claimed to be a pastor now under
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he's up to his usual his own bullcrap ways and stuff like that. And I just wanted to say that, like, it's good to have someone like you out there that is a good pastor, that isn't a hypocrite like you know who. I don't want to mention his name.
Let's just keep it kind of godly. We know about these people and I've forgiven them. We need to move on.
Yeah, numerous times. Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know?
Amen. Like, bury the hatchet.
Only problem
I have with that is there's something that you need to address just because it's going to affect you personally. Said person is going around sending a video of video footage of you sitting on a couch, and it seems you are in a very private act with a rather heavy set woman.
We've got to cut this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew we
were. Right, right,
right. Yeah.
I don't think it's true. I just want to let you know that it's out there, and you have a right to know because, yeah.
Okay.
So right. I can send you more details later.
On Discord maybe. Thank you there very, very, very much, my brother. I don't want to get into personal details on the radio.
I just want to make you aware of it before someone else hits you with it. So that's all.
Okay. Well, sit back and listen. Okay. All righty. Okay. It's going to come out. Okay. 619. Okay, you're on the air, 619.
Hi. Satan embodies principles of doubt and curiosity.
I already did. Okay. All right. Now, you know, we've got a lot of 111 callers here. I can't take 111, okay? Okay? If you got a number that's not a regular number, we're not going to take it. I'm sorry. If you want to be heard and you want to say something, please call in with a regular phone number, okay? And I would be more than happy to take your call. Okay? With that being said, let's play some music. Okay. All right. I'll play a song here. It's Who You See I Am by Hillsong Worship. Here we go. Me in his love. Amen. Well, I did an altar call, and I forgot to do this, and I don't know why I didn't. Okay, but listen. Okay. If you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, okay, and you want to come on and tell us that you have, here's the number you need to call. It's area code 657-383-1487. I'll repeat that. It's area code 657-383-1487, and then press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you will be able to come on the air, because I will know that you want to come on the air and that you want to talk. And like I said, okay, we are not taking any block callers, and a block call is a 111 call, okay? So if you want to be heard, please call back and unblock your number, okay? Amen. All right, we've got a caller from area code 210. Okay, let's see who this person is. Hello, 210, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Luis.
Excuse me?
Hi, this is Luis.
Okay. Hello,
yeah,
how
and
you doing?
I'm very well. I was just listening to some of your music, and I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And it seems like you're very into a lot of the Christian music, the new age Christian music. And I was wondering, first of all, do you have any favorites, any favorite artists that play Christian music?
Well, yeah,
music?
I'm very eclectic when it comes to music. I like some of the more the metal on the metal side. I like Skillet, Red. I like POD. You know, I do like, you know, gospel music. I like Tamela Mann, Tasha. Okay, so I mean, when it comes to music, you know, I pretty much play just about everything. Okay.
Oh. I'm a musician myself, and I like to play a lot of gospel music and religious music, and I wanted to see if maybe I could play a little bit for you right now.
Yeah,
would you mind?
Sure, why not?
Okay. This one's called Lucifer's Hymn.
Okay. Sorry about that. That's not gospel music. That's satanic music. And this is a godly program, and we do not play satanic music. Amen. Alrighty. Okay. Does anybody want to come on? Just press the 1 key. I see plenty of numbers here. Okay, if you want to come on and say something, hit the 1 key, and I'll bring you on. Except for 111 callers. Okay? All right, well, let's play some more music here. Okay, we're gonna play a song called "Broken Things" by Company of Saints.
How can I give you what you already
Hey, man, what a beautiful song that was. Okay, let's play another song. Oh, wait a minute. We've got a caller from 714. Let's bring you on the line. Oh, 714, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken, this is Randy Anderson. How are you, sir?
Not bad, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have to say that I'm really happy that you're back on the line here and doing your radio show again on Blog Talk. I am kind of a little bothered because I've been listening to you for quite some time, and I love your sermon. I love everything you're doing, except to be quite honest, it seems like as if you're allowing some AIDS-ridden piece of dog shit like Tony Farrar to run your life.
Okay, 432. We got a caller from 432. Hello, 432.
Hey, Pastor Ken, how are you?
All right, how are you? Who my ass is calling?
Oh, my name is Adam.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, well, it's a long story, but I got your number from a friend of a friend who said you helped them with a particular problem. Kind of embarrassed to call in. But I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem with chronic masturbation. And I just randomly sometimes, you know, like today I was at the mall and I saw this beautiful woman. And I just had to go to the bathroom and just, you know, rub one off.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand.
Okay.
I was just hoping you could give me a prayer because, you know, all this masturbation, I mean, it's just not good for me. You know, it's all stolen. No.
Yeah, well, listen there, Adam. Okay, I have an addiction show. Okay, It airs twice a month, okay? This Saturday is the addiction show. It'll be the week after. Call back on that show, and we can address your addiction to pornographic material, okay? That's the show for it.
Okay.
It's about issues with mental illness and addiction.
Perfect.
Okay.
Maybe that's the show that my friends were talking about because he mentioned that you had a similar problem. You know, were able to solve it. So, but either way, thanks for taking my call, Pastor Ken. Again, I'm really nervous. You know, I never called into shows.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for calling here, my brother. Sit back and listen to the rest of the show and be blessed. Okay. All right. We got a caller from 808. Just press the 1 key. Okay, hello, caller from 808. Who do I have on the line?
Hi. This is Henry here, and I do have some questions regarding of my religion and some of the way I look at God. I was hoping maybe I can ask a few questions and see if maybe you could point me in the right direction.
Okay. All right.
I've had, throughout my life, I've had some issues, as we all have.
Right.
One of the issues, and it seems like my family just can't get over the fact that I've had run-ins with the law, and my behavior hasn't always been the best. But I'm changing. I found God.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the past, your past is your past. Okay, what we do from this day forward is what counts. Okay, because we all have a past. Okay, and if you're trying to change, okay, for the better, okay, then people will see that. Okay, and if they care for you. Or they like you, or they consider to be friends of yours, then they'll see that you're trying to change, and then they will overlook your past.
Okay, well, it's hard because it seems as if they just don't let me forget about it. Back in the day, I'm ashamed to admit it, I was arrested a few times for prostitution and had a drug addiction, very strong drug addiction, and I gave quite a few people AIDS back in, yeah, I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that at all. And I feel very... I even know the individual who gave it to me. His name was Tony Farrar.
Oh, okay.
He was a piece of dog.
Why are they doing that? Why do you have a... I mean, really, I mean, this is a godly program here, and, you know, and I'm trying to relay a message that is godly, okay, and since the calls have gone astray and off guard, okay, I won't be taking any more callers, okay, tonight. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, I set this ministry up because I'm serious about saving souls, okay? And I want callers to call in and give praise reports, testimonies, okay? I want people to call in and ask for prayer, okay? Okay? Or pray for somebody, okay? And are people that want to talk about, okay, the sermon that I give, okay? Okay, but basically, I want callers to call in and let us know that you received Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we're set up for here. We're set up for that. Okay? Okay? So with that being said, I'm gonna play a song here. Okay, it's by Elevation Worship. It's called "Oh Come to the Altar." Here we go. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go with a closing prayer. I've got an emergency that just came to my attention, and I've got to go. So let's just close this out in prayer. Lord our God, we look to you and to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Continually renew our grace, okay, and your power in our lives, Lord. We pray, renew your grace and power that we may have light even in dark and in distressing times, and through the Savior may overcome as we faithfully for your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be ready to take anything upon ourselves, Lord, to serve you with body and soul, all we have and are, Lord. May we belong to the host of those who go to meet you and who wait for your coming kingdom, Lord, which will bring comfort to the world and to all the people who now suffer and grieve. O Lord our God, have mercy on our times and on our world. Grant that with thanks and praise we may soon see signs of the fulfillment of your promises. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you, everybody, for calling in. And all my listeners out there, okay, be blessed. Okay, until tomorrow night when Fishers of Men Ministry starts at 8 p.m., okay, Central Standard Time. Okay, and then on Thursday we're going to have prayer, praise, and worship. Okay, it also starts at 8 Central Standard Time. We have on Friday night the Pastor's Corner. It also starts at 8 Central Standard Time. And then this Saturday we have Saturday night Shabbat Sabbath services. It's for our Messianic brothers and sisters. And then Sunday, okay, our new church time is at 5. Okay, and it's the God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle. So we hope to see everybody there on the programs, okay, during the week and this Sunday. So God bless and have a great night. Good night.